Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Hoboken Grace. Is this your first time with us? Really excited to have you. Or if you're listening online, just want to introduce myself. My name is Chris High. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and today we're actually wrapping up a conversation called Payout. And for the last several weeks, we've been working through decisions and looking at how decisions last for more than a moment, and how they have this exponential power in our lives. And we've been using the illustration of corn, and so that's why it's here on the stage. For some of you who are wondering, you're like, where am I? They're singing Imagine Dragons songs, and there's corn on stage. This is not what I expected as I walked in today. But we've been using corn as our illustration, and our foundational passage is found in Galatians Chapter 6. I want to remind you of it again. It says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." And we began this conversation, and each week we've been looking at this passage, this foundational passage, where God's saying, listen, your decisions aren't just in a moment. And not only that, but your decisions don't just return one for one. This isn't an idea of karma. The world in which you live in is not dictated by karma, that you do a bad thing, you get a bad thing. You do a good thing, you get a good thing. No. Decisions have exponential power in your life. And so we begin with this picture and this illustration that a couple handfuls of corn, if planted, don't just return a couple handfuls of corn. They return this. And that the picture that he's portraying for us is a picture where our decisions literally exponentially multiply in our life. And so throughout the series, we've been saying, consider the payout, consider the payout. And for us, that means the principle of actual yield over undetermined time. We've broken it down. I mean, okay, what we're talking about here is the principle of actual yield, not just a one for one, but that this decision has exponential potential in your life. Consider the actual yield over undetermined time. You have no idea when this decision is going to stop yielding in your life. Consider the payout. And then what we've been doing is we've been taking this principle and we've been bringing it into different aspects of our lives. So we've been looking at it in terms of influence and who we allow to influence us. We looked at it in terms of investment, both with our treasures, but then also with our story and how we invest our story, and how God says, listen, I want to do something unique with your story. I want to do something powerful with your story if you will invest your story, and if you'll share me as you're bringing this story to the world around you, if you'll be my witnesses. And then we come to today, and as we close today, I want to kind of build on that, but I also want to bring into the conversation the second half of the conversation. I want to take you back to the beginning a little bit, because if you remember at the beginning, we were talking about how we struggle with being short-sighted in our decisions. And we talked about how, I know that it's going to impact me long-term, but I still struggle with being short-sighted, and therefore I continue to make decisions that I look back and I'm like, what in the world were you thinking? And I often forget about the long-term nature of our decisions. And I told you that I thought the scriptures talked about this in two ways. The first is the idea of payout, and God saying, listen, you're misunderstanding the long-term impact. And so he's trying to heighten our awareness of it. He's trying to heighten our understanding of the impact of it, just how exponentially it explodes in our lives. But there's more to it than just that. And I told you that we were going to come to the second half of this conversation. And as we wrap up today, that's what I want to do, because I believe that God comes to us and he doesn't just say consider the payout, but he also comes to us and he challenges where our confidence is found in our decision making. And my fear is, as we walk through this conversation, is that we'll come to the end of this series and we'll say, okay, now that I know the exponential power of my decisions in my life, then now I'm going to be able to make better decisions. Because I don't think that that's true. As a matter of fact, I think for some of you, as you've walked through this series, and one of the things I've been really excited about is that I'm having conversations with people and they're actually saying to me, you know what, I'm considering the payout. I'm considering the payout. And they'll be talking to me about a decision that they're making and saying, you know, I'm considering the payout. And that's really exciting to me because our goal as we began this series is for this to kind of enter into our conversations as a family. And as we're instructing and advising one another in the decisions that we're making, that we will be using this over and over again, like consider the payout, consider the payout, calling each other to remember, no, each decision has an unbelievable potential to impact your future. And so it's been exciting to hear how people have been talking about that and how people are already beginning to use that terminology to help one another. But I would be willing to bet that even though we've been talking through this, even though our awareness of the impact of our decisions has increased, even though we've been made aware now of the incredible good, because this isn't just about bad decisions, this is about good decisions, right? It's not just that your bad decisions have incredible potential to bring death and destruction, it's also that your good decisions have incredible potential to bring love and goodness. And I'd be willing to bet that even though we've become more aware of that, even though we've been talking about that for 4 weeks now, even though you're beginning to ask each other that question, I'd be willing to bet you're still struggling with the decisions that you make. I am. I'd be willing to bet that you're still in the moment, even in the moment when you consider the payout, I'd be willing to bet you still struggle. And you're sitting there and you're confronted with two choices, or you're sitting there and you're confronted with two directions, and you're like, okay, if I make this choice, then I know there's an increase, even more than what I was aware of before. There's an unbelievable potential for good. And if I make this choice, there's an unbelievable potential for bad. And you still made that choice. I'd be willing to bet that if we were to go around this room and we were to sit down for a conversation, most of us, if not all of us, would be able to look back over the past 4 weeks and see that at least once. Even if we were considering the payout. And so some of you are frustrated by this whole conversation on payout because you're like, all you're doing is making me more aware of the bad decisions that I'm making and the outcome of those decisions. This isn't fun at all. I keep making bad decisions and I'm just more aware of how bad it's going to be for me in the future. I think there's more to it than just understanding the payout. I think it's important. I think it's what calls us and helps us understand our need. I think it raises our urgency because we understand how important those decisions are. But the answer is not in just understanding the payout. Because even though you know the payout, you're still going to find yourself in the midst of a battle. And that's why I love the song that we just did. And for some of you, you don't listen to the radio. And for some of you, that's because you're, you know, the younger generation, they're like, radio? What's radio? I just listen to Pandora. But then there's also those of you who, you know, you're too cool for radio. And so you don't know what that song is. But this song's a song by Imagine Dragons. And I remember the very first time I heard it, it connected with me in a very real way. Because the writer is writing about this battle. And he's talking about this dark side of him. And he says, man, there just seems to be this place in me where the demons hide. There seems to be this place in me where there's this darkness, and I find myself over and over again confronting it, and over again coming face to face with it, and I'm in the middle of this battle with it, and and I can't figure out how to get out of it. I can't figure out how to be able to win. And I'd be willing to bet that for some of you, we've walked through this conversation of payout, and you've become more and more aware of the importance of your decisions and the impact that those decisions will have on you long term. And you found yourself in situations where you knew the right thing and you realized, man, it's really important, but you're in the midst of a battle. And in the midst of that battle, you lost. And those demons won. And I think it's a lie to begin to believe that just being more aware of the payout will help you win that battle. And I think it's a battle we all fight. As a matter of fact, I think that the passage in Galatians is actually speaking to that battle. And so in Galatians, when he's talking about the decisions that we're making, he talks about two entities. He talks about the flesh and the spirit. He says, listen, don't sow to the flesh. He says, but serve the spirit. Live to please the spirit. And if you begin to read through the rest of the New Testament, you'll realize that these are two terminologies that are not just used in Galatians 6, but are used consistently throughout the New Testament to talk about this battle. That this is more, there's more to this than just knowing the consequences. There's more to this than just understanding the consequences, because there's a battle that's raging within you between the flesh and the spirit. And my fear is that as we come to this point in the conversation and as we walk through the series, is that we'll begin to believe that we can win that battle because we're more aware of the consequences. But I don't think that's the message of Jesus Christ. And I think he brings us the consequences to increase our urgency and to drive us to try to find how we win the battle. And then he comes to us and says, listen, let me teach you. Not just about the payout, but let me teach you how to win the battle. And it's interesting because I think he uses the picture of seed again as he's teaching us that. I want to take you to a passage. It's found in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, Jesus is having a conversation with his followers. He's just about to go to the cross. And he's struggling. He's battling through something. And in the midst of this struggle, in the midst of this battle, I think you see him talk about both the payout and then also this idea of how you begin to win the battle. It starts off in John chapter 12, verse 23. It says this. It says, Jesus replied, now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat, and he uses wheat instead of corn. But again, he's going back to this picture. As you read through the scriptures, you're going to see God using this picture over and over and over again. He says, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels. A plentiful harvest of new lives. Now, as we look back on this passage and we realize, okay, he's about to go to the cross, we look at him and we say, okay, he's clearly giving us a picture of what he's about to do on the cross and the fact that he's about to be placed in the earth, that he is going to physically die so that we can be brought back to life. That he's going to give his life for you and for me. And he's talking about how he's going to die so that you can be reunited with your Father, so that you can be brought back to God, so that there will be nothing that will ever stand between you and him again. And this harvest that's going to be the result of him dying. But as the passage continues, he doesn't just talk about it in the framework of his experience. He takes it out of his experience and he brings it into our experience. He says, But let me be clear about this. This isn't just for me. This is also for you. Listen to how he does this. He says, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone, but its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life, he expands this, right? This isn't just for me, this is also for you. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. He says, let me show you what this is like. He says, it's like a seed. It's like a kernel of wheat. And if this kernel of wheat wants to produce a harvest, again, going back to that idea, that conversation of harvest, he says, if it wants to produce a harvest, it can't do it on its own. It has to die. And if it will die, then there's something that can happen within it that will produce a harvest that is beautiful. And he says, but this isn't just for me. He says, those, he says, you too. He says, listen, this is for you too. Those who love their life and seek to protect it and keep it will lose it. But those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Because guys, this isn't just for me. This is for you as well. And it's cool because as the conversation goes on, he lets you into the struggle with him. He says, now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray? Father, save me from this hour. But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name. And I love that Jesus allows us into this struggle with him. And the cross is getting closer and closer, and the weight of it is beginning to grow. And as he's confronted with it, he's struggling with it. And he's saying, man, should I ask God to take it away? I mean, this is the very reason that I came. And he's looking at this decision before him of whether he will give his life for you or not. And in the midst of it, he's talking to his followers, but he's also talking to his Father. He says, Father, bring glory to your name. So then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name and I will do so again. When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Jesus is talking about his struggle, and he's like, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to ask that it be taken away from me? I mean, this is the very reason that I came. Father, bring glory to your name. And the Father speaks to him and says, listen, I've brought glory to my name in the past, and I'm going to do it again. Listen, and I love this because I believe in the moment, the Father is calling Jesus to consider the payout. He's saying, look, I've been faithful in the past, and I'm going to be faithful again in the future. Consider the payout. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the scriptures consistently teach that Jesus considered the payout as he went to the cross. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 2. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Because of the joy awaiting him, he knew the payout. And even in this moment, I think you hear the Father calling him back to that. He's like, listen, I'm going to glorify my name through this. There is going to be a payout. Listen, consider the joy that's set before you. And I love that you see him, even as Jesus in the midst of this struggle, you see this idea of considering, look to the future, look to the payout. I'm going to be faithful. But in the midst of it, the victory isn't found just by considering the payout. The victory is found by understanding exactly what Jesus Christ is talking about at the beginning. That if you're going to win this battle, and I think he allows his disciples to see it because he wants them to realize, listen, you're going to struggle like this as well. And you're going to be in the midst of really, really difficult decisions. And as you're in the midst of those difficult decisions, you're going to consider the payout. But that's not going to be enough to be able to carry you through. And what's going to help you make the decision, what's going to help you to be able to choose life over death, what's going to help you to choose love over selfishness, is not just the payout. What's going to help you is that you're going to die to yourself. And your success, your ability to be able to move through that and experience the payout is not going to be based on some knowledge that you've acquired. It's not going to be because you know more. It's not going to be because you're strong enough. It's because you're going to die to yourself. And what I love about this passage is that in this passage, you realize that there's a moment that Jesus dies physically. But when you look at the garden and when you look at John chapter 12, you realize that Jesus has been dying to himself the whole time before he ever gets to the cross. And this is one of those moments. And I think when he's talking about that kernel of wheat, he's not just talking about what's going to happen on that cross. He's talking about what's happening right there. He's saying, if I don't die to myself, if I try to hold on to this world and what this world has to offer, if I try to hold on to my life, I'm going to lose it. But if I will give it up, I'll find it. And when that kernel of wheat is planted in the ground, it produces an unbelievable harvest. You see, I believe God calls us to consider the payout, to heighten our urgency, to bring us to the point where we're like, man, I've got to figure out how to be able to make those decisions, because I know that I have it with my decisions. I can bring life and I can bring death. And as our urgency becomes heightened and as we're driven more and more to make the right decisions, we're confronted more and more with our inability to do so. And as we're confronted with our inability to do so and the battle that rages within us, in this passage, I believe Jesus comes in and says, listen, as you're in the midst of that struggle, as you're in the midst of that struggle, you have to understand that you're not going to win by being stronger. You're going to win by dying to yourself. By letting go of this world and everything that this world has to offer, by letting go of those hopes and dreams, and sometimes, especially inside a church, we talk about it, and you hear that word flesh coming from Galatians chapter 6. And I think sometimes what we'll say is, well, I need to die to the bad part of me. I need to die to my flesh. In other words, those demons, that demon side of me, I just need to die to that part of me. But I don't see this passage saying that. I don't see Jesus saying, no, you just need to die to the bad parts of you. He says, no, you just need to die to you, all of you. Because you know what happens when you begin to die to the bad parts of you? You begin to believe in you, that you can do it, that you can be good. And in the process, the truth is, you're just building your kingdom. It's about you. Jesus says, no, you just die. You die to all of you. All of you. This isn't about me anymore. Not about me at all. And one of the lies that comes in, especially when you're looking at it, well, I got to die to the bad side of me. And one of the lies that comes in is that you can be strong enough. And the truth is that our conversation over the past few weeks can feed that. Because when you hear God talking about the principle of the payout and the people that you surround yourself with, you can walk out of the past couple of weeks and think to yourself, you know what, I can just be strong enough. I can be informed enough to be able to finally on my own be able to make the right decisions, to be able to finally on my own bring life to the world around me. I can do it. You'll never be strong enough to win the battle. You'll never be stronger than your flesh. But There's no point in the Scriptures where God comes to you and says, you're going to be strong enough. There's no point where he comes to you and says, you need to be strong enough. Never. He comes to you and says, I'm strong enough. And if you will die to the idea that you can do it, I can do it through you, you'll never be stronger than your flesh. And this is an idea that's so ingrained in us. I just have to be stronger. I just have to try harder. I just have to give more. And what I've found is that these lies, sometimes it helps to be able to fight them with actually audibly saying out loud something that's very, very difficult for us. Something that goes contrary to that lie. And I know some of you, even as you sit here, you hear me say, you'll never be stronger than your flesh. And there's something inside of you that says, no, I can be strong enough. I'm a strong person. I can be strong enough. I have so many conversations where I sit down with people and they begin to tell me their story and the difficult thing that they're walking through or working through. And I'll often hear them say, but I'm a strong person. I'm strong. And every time I hear someone say that, I think to myself, no one's that strong. That's not the answer. The answer will never be found in your strength. And I think sometimes we just have to say that. So what I want to do is this. I want to give you a chance to be able to turn to the person sitting next to you, and I want you to just simply say, I'll never be stronger than my flesh. I'm going to count down from three. Just go 3, 2, 1, and then you just turn whichever direction you feel more comfortable. Actually, turn to both sides just so that someone doesn't. Just continue to break down the lie. And just turn and say, I'll never be stronger than my flesh. 3, 2, 1, go. Some of you didn't do it. I saw you. You just proved my point. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. The hope is not you. The hope is not that because you understand payout now, you're going to win the battle. My hope is never that I'm going to be strong enough to win the battle. My hope is that I'll finally get out of the way enough for him to be able to live through me. My hope is that I'll finally die to myself enough where his strength can finally be displayed through me. This past week, I was reading about the process of seeds. For two reasons. One is this series. The other is because I have a yard here in Hoboken. I'm trying desperately to get grass to grow there. Desperately. I'm obsessed with it. I just want a nice looking backyard. I want the boys to be able to go out and play on grass instead of mud. My wife really wants that. But my backyard is basically like an illustration for last week's message. I go out and scatter seed and the birds come and eat it and it's gone. Like it's just over and over again. I'm trying to figure out some way to stop it, but I can't. And I just keep trying to think of somehow, how can I fix this problem? The other night, my wife thinks I'm crazy, by the way. And the other night she had some friends over and they're sitting in the living room talking and I'm just sitting at the back window looking out and they're like, what are you doing? And so I'm just watching my yard. hoping that grass will grow. And I'm trying to figure out how to get these stupid seeds to die faster so that these birds can't eat them before they start growing. And I was reading and just kind of learning about what happens with a seed. And if you were to come up here today and pick up one of these seeds, you'd see what you already know. One, that I can't hold on to them in this service. Two, that it's hard. It's what allows it to be able to survive. It's hard. It's what protects it, keeps it safe. But the problem is that as it is right now, there's no way that new life could ever come from it. The potential for new life is within it. But new life could never come from it because it can't push through. So I was reading about it. They're talking about how in order for a seed to actually produce life, what happens is that it has to go into the ground and the moisture and everything, it begins to decompose it. And as it decomposes the seed, it provides what's necessary for that new life to begin to develop within it. And as it decomposes, it becomes softer and softer, and then that new life is able to push through. Jesus says, it's like a seed. It's like a kernel of wheat. Says, unless it goes into the ground and dies, and listen how he says it. He says, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. This is all there is. It says, but it's death. It's death is what allows the new life to emerge. And it produces a plentiful harvest of new lives. Jesus says, listen, guys, consider the payout. He's in the midst of this struggle. He's considering the payout. But that's not the key. The key is, and he's calling us to, he says, guys, listen. The key is that you die to yourself. The key is that you understand that the hope is not you. The hope is him. And oftentimes we can misunderstand this. And what we begin to believe is that we can thrive through God. That's not the message of Jesus Christ. The message of Jesus Christ is not that you can thrive through God. It's that God can thrive through you. It's not about you. It's not about you. It says you have to die to yourself, to all that this world has to offer. And you say, well, what does that look like? I think there's two aspects to it. I think one, there's the initial decision. There's the initial decision where you come to the point where you realize, I have no hope but you. God, I have no hope but you. If I can't do it. I'm not going to be able to be strong enough. I'm not going to be able to figure it out. I'm not going to be able to make this happen. I have no hope but you. And you're willing to die to yourself. Die to the idea that you're going to be able to put the puzzle together. And for some of you, this is really, really relevant to you because you've been journeying with us here at Hoboken Grace and you're learning from Jesus Christ, but it's still about you. It's still about you're the one who's going to figure it out. You're the one who's going to make this happen. And you're taking what you want from Jesus Christ and you're taking truth from wherever you believe truth comes from and you're piecing this thing together, but it's all about you. It's all dependent upon you. You better make it work because it's dependent on you. It doesn't work that way. And you can continue to try that. You can continue to walk down that road, but here's the thing. You're not strong enough.
The hope is not you. And as Jesus Christ comes to you today, he's saying, listen, I can do it through you if you'll finally stop believing in you and believe in me. You'll die to yourself. And I think there's that initial decision. And for some of you, that's your next step. That moment and that conversation with God where you say, I need you because I'm broken and I can't do it without you. But I think when you look at the scriptures, you see that not only is it a moment, but then it's also a process. It's a practice. This isn't something that just happens once, and I think it's even illustrated in the life of Christ, because you have, as Philippians 2 is talking about, you have the moment where Jesus says, no, I'm taking on this mission. I'm going to give my life for these people, and he dies to himself. He gives up everything that's rightfully his, everything that he deserves. He dies to himself. But then you see it happen again and again and again. You see it in John chapter 12 where he's working through this and he's dying to himself. You see him in the garden as he's in this struggle and he dies to himself. You see that this isn't just a one-time thing, but this is a practice and this is a process. Jesus even talks about this himself when he's talking in Luke to his followers. He says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily. This is not just something that you decide once, but this is, and if you've been on this journey for a while, you know this. That you have an unbelievable ability to come back into the picture. You have an unbelievable ability to come back to life and to begin to become the center of things again. For it to become all about you again and for you to begin to trust yourself again. And so there's this practice of just day after day after day dying to yourself that I have no hope. I have no hope but you. In my life, because of the fact that I'm constantly drawn to the idea that I can be self-sustaining, that I don't need God, that I don't need people. And in my life, I'm constantly being drawn to that idea that I have everything I need on my own. And so one of the things that I do routinely in my life in order to practice dying to myself is that I'll sit down in my time with God and I say something to myself over and over and over again. And I'll just sit there and say to myself, Chris, you have the ability to destroy your life in just one day. I have the ability to destroy my life in just one day. I have an unbelievable ability to destroy my life in just one day. If it's up to me, I will destroy my life in just one day. And I just die to myself. I have no hope. There is no hope in me. My only hope is that he does something through me. And I don't know what that looks like for you. And the temptation is for me to stand here and say, okay, this is what it looks like for you to die every day and for you to say the same thing that I say. But that may not be true because you may not struggle and it being about you may not show up the same way that it shows up for me. But I want to put you on a journey today where you begin to have a conversation with God, where you go to him and you begin to work through, okay, what does it look like for me to die to myself every single day? What does it look like in my conversation with him to practice dying over and over and over again to myself and what the world has to offer and just bringing my hope completely to him? And I don't think it's all negative either. I think there's a process where you make the decision and then you begin to practice this. But the practice is not just that I die to myself. The practice is also exactly what you see in Galatians chapter 6, that listen, I'm going to die to myself. I'm not going to sow to my flesh. This isn't about me. I'm dying to myself daily, but then I'm coming to God. And not only am I sitting there saying, okay, I have the ability to destroy my life in just one day, but on the flip side of it, you come to him and say, okay, God, my only hope is you. So how can I serve you? My only hope is you. So how can I love you? How can I serve you? Because if I'm going to experience the payout that we've been talking about, if I'm going to experience the payout in all these different aspects of my life, it's not because I'm strong enough. I don't have a chance. But you can do this through me. And so God, I just want to be a shell of a seed. I just want to be a shell of a seed through which you live. I want to die so you can live. And in the passage, once again, Jesus is calling us to a payout because he says, if that kernel will die, if it will die, then it can produce a bountiful harvest. A plentiful harvest. But you have to die. And so may we begin to live our lives not in the confidence of our strength. May we begin to pursue everything that we've been talking through. And may we begin to engage our decisions exactly the way that we've been talking about engaging our decisions. But may our confidence not be found in the fact that we know now, or may our confidence not be found in the fact that we're going to be strong enough. May our confidence be found in the fact that we are just the shell of a seed. That we have died to ourselves. And that our God has promised us that if we will die to ourselves, that he will, through us, bring an unbelievable harvest. Will you pray with me? Father, throughout this entire conversation, you've been trying to bring hope. You've been working through every one of these passages to bring hope and for us to be able to realize that if we do not give up in doing what is good, then it can produce an unbelievable harvest of good and joy and love in the world around us. That if we will surround ourselves with those who are wise, that we can actually become wise. That if we will invest in that which is eternal, and we will reap the reward, that if we will be witnesses, and we can see the stories, we can see a harvest of lives. And to be honest with you, as we come to today, the idea of death, it doesn't seem to bring hope. But as we've engaged this battle, Father, the truth is there is no hope in me. There is no hope in us. And Father, more and more we're aware of the fact that we don't have the strength to win. That even when we have the right answer, even when we know the payout, even when we understand the consequence, we don't have the strength to win. And yet, Father, you've come to us. And as the most loving Father we could ever imagine, You've come alongside of us and you've picked us up. And you've promised us that if we would just stop believing in ourselves and our ability to make this happen, that if we would die to ourselves, then you would live through us. That your strength is enough. Father, I pray for every single person here that as they go out today, they would go out with confidence. I pray that they would go out with hope. Hope of what can happen in their lives and the lives around them. But not hope based on them. Not hope that they can thrive through you. Father, I pray that they would walk out with hope that you can thrive through them. Father, thank you. Thank you that it's not dependent on me. Thank you that you are strong enough and that you've promised to live through us. In Jesus' name, amen.